Welcome to Vanderpump Rules Party, the only Vanderpump Rules podcast that isn't produced by a major entertainment network. Here we will hit you with real Facebook on the hit Bravo TV reality show. You won't find any filtered comments here. Holly and Sarah tell it like it is. So raise your glasses, VPR fan, and let's get real.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Vanderpump Rules Party. This is Holly. And for this episode, Sarah is not with us. And because I can't do this alone, I have Chad, my husband, joining, who is also a huge Vanderpump Rules fan. Well, that's not really true. He's a fan because I watch it and I force him to come and help me form my opinions.
This is a relationship of convenience right now. I've been dragged into this situation because...
I mean, I've been dragged into The Walking Dead and...
That's true.
Some other horrible things like Breaking Bad and stuff like that.
Yeah, she's listened to my shows before, and so I'm doing this as
and actually the reason why I even heard about podcasts was because I would always see you jump on your phone right after an episode to hear a recap. So that's what we are doing here.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I cannot believe the numbers that we are getting on this podcast. It's amazing. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate it. Let's talk about, we're a week behind on this. This is season 5, episode 6. This was the episode that was about the pride party that was going to be held at Pump for the Gay Pride Parade, which was, you know, there was a horrible event that happened in Orlando. So this episode was really real. So we open up the episode where Lisa is holding a meeting and she's preparing her staff for the Pride party, and she's announcing the Pride costumes, which is always like a big, you know, reveal. What are they going to do? And it's never too surprising. It's just always they're pretty much naked.
Yeah. So, I mean, every year there was there's been some sort of... you know, signature costume that they wore. So this was their work meeting to discuss upcoming Pride Parade and what that outfit was going to be. So it was kind of like an outfit reveal. And they did a little recap of what the previous years looked like. I think the first season they did that costume with angel wings, and the guys were wearing those.
I have to say that I feel like they kind of revamped Gay Pride. Because it was really big when you and I went, and Paris Hilton was the Grand Marshal. And then you didn't really hear about it too much. I mean, celebrities were still involved, but when Lisa Vanderpump started doing it, it like brought a new, like, fresh air into the parade.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, gone up a notch with media coverage and I guess celebrity status. Yeah, we went back in 2005, I believe, just to go check it out, because Paris Hilton at the time was really huge, and she was the Grand Marshal. So that year, I remember just walking around, you know, West Hollywood, and we checked it out, and we were like literally a stone's throw away from the, you know, the float. So you could really get down there and check out the parade. It looked to be a little bit more crowded over the years now. It seems to be a huge event, and Lisa Vanderpump is... you know, on the show, she shows and she says that she's, you know, a big part of that community. So when the events of that Orlando nightclub shooting happened, you know, they were, you know, trying to get through that day to see, you know, what they were going to do. I know a lot of people were nervous and
And just to interrupt really quick, like, for those of you who don't live in California and don't kind of know the setup of that area, West Hollywood is like the biggest area where people from that community gather, and the restaurants are right in the heart of that. So I do have to say that if you were nervous that a repeat offense was going to happen in Los Angeles, that is where it would happen. So
I remember that
they weren't faking it to be scared.
No, that was pretty real and scary. But no, at that time there was a big threat. I believe there was a gunman, and they actually mentioned it on the show. There was a gunman in Santa Monica who got stopped before that parade took place, and he had guns in his car and all kinds of stuff, and he was, I don't know where he was on his way to, but they stopped him, and that came
I mean, would you have gone to work?
Probably. I probably would have just went, because, you know, the likelihood of an attack happening when there's that much security was probably pretty slim, but I know a lot of those people didn't want to risk it. But you know, how would you feel the next day? You take off work and, you know, everybody else went. I think as the day went by, they kind of realized.
Okay, yeah. So let's come back to that. Okay. So they're getting ready to, you know, for this big day. And Lisa wants them to try on their outfits. Lala reveals that she's wearing no underwear. And we know Katie rolls her eye and is like, oh my gosh, like,
I hope they burn that chair.
It's like, they should burn every place that your eyes, like, look at Katie, because, like, the world shouldn't have to look at you. It's just, I can't with Katie right now.
Katie's definitely got that, like, arrogance this season. It's almost like somebody's kind of finally found their voice, but is speaking their mind a little too much. And she's got some real issues. And we're going to talk about this later, too, with her and Stassi. There seems to be something bigger at play with those two. There's something behind the scenes what's going on. I think their personal lives are playing into a lot of their decisions in the way that they're interacting with everybody this season.
Yes.
That there's something wrong, and it's coming out with their interactions, especially with
100. I actually think that we saw this in season one, episode one, that they all have issues. You know, I think that's why they're good for reality. But yeah, I totally agree with you. So, you know, Lisa's telling them what they're going to wear. And Ariana's actually the one to go put on this little unitard that Lisa wants them to wear. And Jax makes a comment and he's like, you know, if I would have been smart about this, I would have hooked up with Ariana instead of Kristen. Just kidding. Like, I wouldn't do that to Tom twice. And comments about her ass, which I don't understand that, because it doesn't look very, it looks like non-existent to me, which I actually prefer, but I thought guys liked the Kardashian butt, so I'm confused.
Well, Jax seems to have a thing for butts this season too. He's been known to be looking a little.
Oh yeah, he commented on Sheena's butt.
Yeah, and Sheena's butt too. So,
You're right.
Yeah, Jax the ass man this season.
Yeah, yeah, and the foot fetish guy.
Yeah.
So then we cut to the next scene where Ariana is, you know, letting us know in one of her scenes where, you know, she's sitting there by herself. What is that called? Why can't I think of it right now? The confessional. You know, she's there. She's like, you know, I don't know if you can tell by my face, but I'm just like beaming that I actually might be able to make this cocktail book, you guys. Like, okay, first of all, who reads books anymore? I'm serious. Like, I ordered a book for myself for Christmas and I don't even want to open it because I don't want to read it. Like, I don't have time to sit down and read a book.
Maybe this is more of like a coffee table book, something like that.
Okay.
I don't know if it's more of a practical type of thing.
First of all, she said they are searching for a publisher. Like, the fact that she's searching for a publisher, just do it yourself. You don't have to wait for anything anymore. There's no going the route of a publisher. You can publish something on Amazon tonight.
Definitely the way to go nowadays with everything. DIY, do it yourself. Yeah,
on the fly. DIY this podcast, DIY till I die.
Yeah. Well, the book, I guess it sounds like a good idea, but I don't know how
popular it's played out, dude. It's played out.
There's too many. There's too many of those that are out, and you know.
And I have to kind of agree with Tom on this. Like, when I think of like a fun bartender, Ariana isn't one that really, like, I'm not like, ooh, she looks like she makes a good drink. And maybe she does. I might go to her if I was like, I want to get a very precise recipe drink. Maybe I'd go to her because she seems like she really would follow directions.
Well, there's your standard cocktails, too. I mean, how often does someone go over there looking for LVB twist, whatever they were saying it was, or one of the other
drinks. Why do you have to use twist?
Tom was definitely getting, he was upset that he wasn't involved in this because he felt like he had the better take on it, the better recipes. And Holly actually has experience with this because she's gone to Sir, and Tom's served her a drink before. You said it was pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
He's pretty good, a pretty good bartender, I guess. So,
but yeah, I kind of feel like this is like, you know how they make fun of DJ James Kennedy? They're like, how hard is it to push play? Like, it's kind of like the bartending thing. Like, can you really mess up a drink? I'm sure some people can. I've never tried to bartend, so I can't speak.
It's not an exact science. I mean, there's bartending schools, but come on. I mean, I think
I know people who have gone.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just, you know, ignorance talking, but I don't think it takes that much talent. I mean, come on.
No, it's about personality. It's like if you like I always think a good bartender is someone who like acknowledges me, gives me my drink fast or you know, strong.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not too. So they roll in and it's time for her to shoot her her little promo, and it was really confusing because she, you know, she's all like flustered, and she I know this is really mean to say, but this is an unfiltered podcast. I really noticed her skin in this shot. Like, her skin looked horrible, and I've never noticed her to have bad skin.
I think it was what they were doing was the lighting and the makeup. So they really put like that pancake makeup on her. It made it look real like globby on her face.
Yeah,
and
maybe then the heavy that lights. Is something that I'm not understanding, because it did not look like an even skin tone.
It wasn't the typical Vanderpump Rules shot. You could definitely tell it was the lighting for the book, you know, but she wasn't doing anything special.
And I like how her professionals that she had come in was Edmund shows up again. You know, this is like what, his third appearance, Sheena's wedding photographer. Then he got into a fight with James, and now he's doing Ariana's promo.
Was that the one who put James in a headlock? Or was that just the argument?
I think that was some other. I don't even know. Like, he's so just ugh. So it was. I just thought it was really weird. Oh, and so then like they're filming, and she's like, I don't want to talk. So she was just silently like muddling a drink, and then Tom is behind the camera slurping his coffee as loud as he can, and being like, I don't know if I'd do it like that. Like, what? And the brother's just laughing, like, just, like, totally high. You could tell, just, like, high. So then they cut to, once again, Tom Sandoval and Ariana are doing a scene by themselves without the cast, because that's what they do, is they go and eat places, and then they have some, you know, cast member who is on the outs with everyone come and talk to them, because it's the only scenes that we're seeing. And again, I just want to call out the Bravo production. This is bull. I'm sick of it. Like, are you into this storyline?
It feels a little like BS, because, you know, Ariana and Tom like seem to pride themselves on being above the BS, and that they can suss out the nonsense.
And they're really loyal. Loyal, fair.
But they seem to be looking past all of Lala's, you know,
indiscretions.
Yeah, so they're like kind of compromising their little belief system. So, it sounds like kind of BS, or just kind of a little role that they're pushing them into. It's really out of character.
And this is, you know, in the past episode, they made a joke. Like, they sat first, they rode they rode on a bike. It's like, okay, like, let's do something funny. Let's ride on a bike. Stupid. The next one was, you know, they're at this restaurant and they're sitting there and they're like, oh, the hot Asian. Oh, do you want the hot Asian? I want the hot Asian. And the Lala is like, I'll have the love me long time. Like, so every time they sit down, we have to hear a bad joke. Like, it's the formula is really played out. And I seriously think that they sit down, those two, and they're like, hey, what about this? And like, they crack each other up. And I just don't know if it's translating.
Yeah, their brand of humor, I think, is more like inside jokes that nobody else gets, and none of us are really laughing. Sorry, guys.
But they saved it because this was a good scene.
Yeah, so the interaction between Tom and Ariana gets heated. So she goes at him like he's telling her, you know, I don't think I would have exactly done it the way you did it. You're known for being, you know, a grumpy cat, and you have like total RBF. And
he said that?
No, but she does. She's known for that. He should have said that.
That
he said she's known for being grumpy cat because of that, you know, eternally pissed off face she has.
Which was a brilliant line, because I feel like whoever was the camera guy on that day shot right to her face, and it was grumpy catting. Like, it was good.
Definitely, even when she was mixing her drinks, she seemed really pissed off. And I don't know if that was because of Tom, but watch all the other scenes. Ariana's got no chill, you know.
Yeah.
She seems a little uptight. But he called her on her bullshit, and she got pissed, man. She was like, dude, don't go there with me.
She called him a little bitch.
He didn't like that. He seemed like he was going to burst into tears any second. Tom actually kind of looks like he's on the verge of tears.
I think he's very in touch with his emotions.
Well, you said that he could definitely win an Oscar for his performance. He's good.
Yeah. I really think that if you look at Tom's career on Vanderpump Rules, and if you listen to him spout off his resume, and if you hear the cast talk about it, he's like the one who really orchestrated this group getting together, because he was so adamant that he was going to make his dreams come true in Hollywood. And I think he is very devoted to his craft of acting, of singing, performing, doing makeup, doing hair, like everything. He goes all out. And so whatever, nothing really happens at this lunch. It's boring. They invite Lala to Ariana's stupid birthday party, which is her birthday is not near Stassi's. P.S. This is all another orchestrated storyline. Her birthday is a week before, but they're acting like it's like, oh my gosh, you guys, like it's at the same time. It's not their fault that they both have trips. No, they are both planning different trips because the groups don't get along. And that's what's going on. So Ariana has made the fun announcement that they're going to do something really crazy, like an out there. I mean, no one does this, you guys. She's going to have a NASCAR birthday party. Isn't that so random? Again, with the humor. It's just, I get like, it's funny. Like if I were to write it down, I might go like, that might be funny. People might think it's funny. Maybe I can win everyone back.
But when you watch it back, it's just mildly annoying.
Then maybe she's thinking like NASCAR, there's like a huge amount of NASCAR fans. Maybe I'll get some NASCAR fans and, you know,
corner the NASCAR market.
Yeah. Get that niche.
Well, they're going to head off to that and, later on, it comes up during the folding of napkins scene. So they're in the restaurant talking about, you know, that Katie's once again confronting Sheena about her loyalty and, you know, how she's going to handle Lala. And Lala pops out once again to talk about the party, the upcoming.
Yeah, wait, you're missing a scene. I'm going to interrupt you really quick. So before that, Stassi comes into the restaurant. So she goes up to the hostess stand and she's like, and Lala, of course, is suddenly working the hostess stand. And she's like, hi, can I have a table for three? I'm meeting, some of my friends are going to meet me here. And she's like, can you seat us in the section for winter bodies? You know, referencing episode one when Lala said that no one had been working on their summer bodies. So,
is that what that was?
Yeah. So Lala, there's like a 3-second look that Lala gives her, like, and then she, as she's walking, she's like, sure, I'll take you right back, Stassi, no problem. Seats her. It's just super nice. And then in her little confessional, she's like, Stassi is all bark with no bite. And I just, you know, matrix her.
You know, at first I thought Stassi had lost a step in that Lala was like the new guard taking over.
Yeah. Right?
Okay. But I think Stassi's playing now I've seen this. Now that the season's progressed, at first I didn't think this, but now that it's progressing, and we'll get into more of that later. She's playing chess, man. She's like really moving those pieces subtly.
Stassi?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And you know, Lala with her little comment about, you know, I'm just dodging that bitch, but she doesn't seem to have the long game in mind, you know? And
I think a lot of new cast members that come on, they think that they're kind of better than the show and they're not going to stay with it long term, and like they're going to catapult into something differently. And I think people that commit to, like, you know, inserting themselves in the cast do better.
Yeah.
So I think that when you kind of take a step back and try to like be like, well, I don't need this, then you have a problem.
Or if you, here's the other reason too, is that you cannot not deal with Lisa Vanderpump, especially with her role in the community, the role on Bravo, and the role within the shows that she is involved with. You have to either be on her good side or her bad side. I think the mistake a lot of people make is that they want to kind of fly under the radar. I think that's what Stassi did a couple seasons ago. I'm just going to move on. I'm not going to have to deal with any of these people. I think it's either pick one or the other. And Lala's kind of doing that right now, where she's just staying out of the way of Lisa.
And Stassi has made a clear 360 degree turn and is now kissing Lisa's ass, because before, when she first started podcasting and she still wasn't really with the franchise, again, she was totally going off on Lisa.
Or she could be waging war very subtly, because she's getting everybody right now. This is what I see. She's getting everybody in her corner. She's going, okay, so last season, where was she? Pretty much nowhere. The only person who would talk to her was the other one that was on the outs with everybody,
Kristen.
So both of them are on the fringe of this group.
They're both on Lisa's shit list.
Yeah. So they get together, form an alliance, which was sort of unlikely, and then they brought Katie into the fold.
And we have to say that we know that Stassi and Kristen are not stupid. They have been some of the biggest reality game changers that we've seen since Heidi and Spencer, in my opinion. Kristen was a surprise player, dude, because she carried the season after Stassi left when everyone thought it's done. Like, she shocked me.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Kristen fan. I'm a huge Stassi fan, but I'm going to kind of go in on them today just because I'm a little annoyed. Okay. So I keep forgetting what episode we're on though, because we're behind. So Stassi rolls in with her friends and they're sitting down and they're these two blonde girls, like totally.
The twins. They're from the East Coast, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, they don't even really... Yeah, she's like, oh my gosh, like sometimes you just like meet girls and you're like, you just instantly click, and that's how it was with us. I call BS on that because I don't think so, Stassi. But
are they coming in on an upcoming Bravo show?
That is what I heard. I haven't verified, but that's what I heard. But anyway, so they talk about how they're like, oh, like we're going to be in this wedding in Italy and blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, but in this summer, you know, the first weekend, we have to be there for the first summer in Montauk. And then Stassi's like, that's going to be my birthday. And they're like, well, like, she's like, I don't know. And then so like suddenly Sheena walks up and so does Katie. Like, there's no one else in the restaurant, and these two servers are there working, clocked in. It's so weird. So all mic'd up. So they roll up, and Stassi's like, guys, I have an idea. How about my birthday in Montauk? And Sheena's like, in where?
Sheena has no idea what where Montauk is or what.
And
it is.
I remember I laughed out loud at this scene, but then I had to stop and say, wait, I don't know what it is either. I thought it was like a brand of a jacket.
That's Montclair.
Oh.
Well, I mean, come on. We don't know anything really about East Coast beaches, and they probably don't know anything about West Coast beaches, you know, maybe only the famous ones, but that's kind of a more, I wouldn't say obscure beach, but it's just not relatively known to people over here. And Sheena even admitted, like, I didn't grow up with that type of those type of people. It's more of like a rich community. I guess she says it was near the Hamptons, something like that. It's a major vacationing spot for the wealthy on the East Coast. So,
but like, just to clarify, like, you know, wealthy people live on the West Coast too, and we don't have to like go there for the weekend because we already live on the ocean. So I think it's funny that like they have to like go to these like places with the, I don't know, I've never wanted to go there. I literally have, like, when people are like, I'm going to the Hamptons, I've never been like, ooh, I want to go and you know, walk along this long, these long blades of grass, sand, and windy, choppy water.
Yeah. And, well, East Coast beaches just don't look very appealing because, I mean, you only have a certain amount of time, you know, that you can visit them.
Yeah. Probably. I'm sure it's beautiful though, whatever. So that's where she wants to have her birthday. And so,
and Stassi's notorious for being a birthday drama queen too. Yes. So this is going to be a pretty exciting event. So they did a little flashback also on her birthday mishaps, different fights and breakdowns. So, this is going to be quite the showdown. And from, coming attractions next week, Sheena's contemplating if she's even going to go because of the drama situation, yeah, right now.
So then we flash forward to, like Chad mentioned before, so the girls are, and then really quick, so those girls are eating or whatever, and Lisa walks in. She's like, so what's going on? Anything I need to know about? And they're like, well, Stassi's here. And she's like, what? And they're like, yeah, she's with two friends in the dining room. And so she's like, Jax is like, go say hi to her. And she's like, maybe I will. Yeah. And she goes over there and insults Stassi and her friends right there in front of them by whispering, you know, you can get the food to go.
This is why I say it's like, it's totally game on, because Lisa is pulling no punches when it comes to Stassi, and Stassi seems to kind of be taking it for the meantime, but I have a feeling she's gonna go in on Lisa. Lisa talks about being, you know, above all that petty arguing shit, but have you ever seen Beverly Hills Housewives? They get crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they doing this season? There's some really petty shit going on there. So,
well, it's funny too, because Lisa's always encouraging the girls to, you know, go confront each other about their problems and talk it out, but when anyone tries to confront Lisa about a problem, she's not really keen on being open about being able to talk about a problem. It is uncomfortable, and she requests that of people, but you know, as you can see on Beverly Hills, it's hard to do.
And then they have to do that, though, because they're, you know, she's their boss. But with Stassi, it's a different story because she doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah. So
I think she's kind of showing up just to stick it in her face, you know, that I can go anywhere, I can do anything.
Yeah. Well, so. And I mean, they've talked about it on like their on Stassi's podcast, as they've said, you know, a lot, you know, of course, like scenes are planned and stuff, but for the most part, they are friends, and some of these situations suck because they really are having to go through, like, you know, these difficult scenes in front of people and, you know, have dumb reactions and have it filmed. So I don't know. It's interesting. So, yeah. So Lisa insults them. And so then they're folding napkins, like Chad mentioned, and Lala comes in and they're like, hey, she's like, did I hear someone mention the Hamptons?
You know, she's got to get a word in on that. She's probably. So this is like the almost like the proof that Lala is full of crap with her whole story about she's not with a married guy. Everything she does just screams gold digger. Montauk, Range Rover, what did she say about the plane, the private plane? I only fly private.
Yeah, she's like, I don't really like to fly commercial. It's like, ew. And then Katie's like, I like mutters, like under her breath, like the most pussy, like, and she's like, I've never done it. And Lala's like, excuse me? And she's like, I've never gone on one. And she's like, oh, well, she's like, I'll fly with the regular people of the world.
Yeah, have fun, Katie.
And so Lala's like, okay, bye. And she's like, have fun folding napkins, girls. And then Sheena, you know, who Katie keeps saying that she isn't a loyal friend to her, she fires off the insult. Katie sits there with her mouth, her tongue-tied mouth, and Sheena fires off, have fun answering the phones.
Yeah.
And I have to say, Sheena is the one who keeps reacting. Sheena is the one who went to hit James on the, in the first scene. Katie didn't do anything. Stassi didn't do anything. Sheena went to hit him.
Yeah, so, I don't get where this whole question of her loyalty goes. That's what kind of pissed me off about a couple episodes ago.
When something, we're missing something. We need.
That's what I said. Like, they are totally, like, projecting their BS, like, insecure feelings on her. It's, something is going on with them, and I don't know why they're putting it all on Sheena, because it doesn't make any sense. She's been.
Do you think they knew, like, that they were, like, so mad that they knew that, like, her marriage was ending or something, and they were mad that she got to get married and she got the whole thing on the show, and so they're just so angry that they're not married and, like, all that's coming out or something?
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something we don't know about yet. Maybe there's something she's done that we haven't seen, but to me, it seems like she's standing up for them, and she's, yeah, she's throwing.
Well, I agree on the surface about their biggest issue with her, that she wants to be friends with everyone and she literally tells everyone everything. It's annoying.
Yeah.
But I don't think that every person that they are friends with needs to be like them. Like, it's getting ridiculous. So, so then that kind of, that scene kind of ends with, Brittany saying that she's invited to, Ariana's party, and so we see that there's a divide and the girls are annoyed, and Sheena's like, I'm sure that Ariana just heard that I already accepted Stassi's offer and that's why I wasn't invited, because I mean, I am her best friend, so she would have invited me, but she probably already heard that I accepted Stassi's invitation. So then it's a commercial, and then it cuts to like the news sirens. It even said like somber music, you know, when you had the subtitles up, and it's the Orlando shooting had happened. And it's just kind of like chaos in West Hollywood, because it is the gay pride parade weekend, and it's supposed to be a huge party weekend. Events were planned, a parade was planned, and it cuts to Lisa having a conversation with Katie in the street. Like, literally, they're in the street. I would assume that it was in the morning, you know, like right as the parade was supposed to start, maybe like 9 a.m. or something. And she's, you know, Lisa's visibly upset and is like, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, obviously, if you're uncomfortable, if anyone, any of the employees are uncomfortable being here, I understand, you know, if you don't want to be here, but I just feel that I want to be here for this community, and I really just want to show my support. And, you know, I'm here, and I'm gonna, you know, do this. And, Katie like stops and she's like, are you okay? When it's like already like Lisa was visibly upset. And I just thought it was strange, because okay, so then it cuts to her being like, you know what, I'm just feeling really sad, and like I just want to go like pout my mouth some more, so I'm gonna go. And she
like it, no, it was like the lazy people's excuse. Anytime you give someone like a lazy ass person an excuse not to show up for work, they're gonna take it. God, I mean, come on. Like, she's just looking for any excuse not to go. And I know it was like a big deal and probably a scary situation to be in, but I mean, everybody eventually showed up, and that from like a business standpoint was like the biggest day of the year. And then what Lisa was talking about also, like, you got to look at it from the viewpoint of everybody there. It's like a lot of those people have gone through you know, abuse their whole life. So, you know, they were saying like, you know, you're going to stand up for this, or you're going to be scared and go home. I don't think they cared either way, Katie or any of them. I think they just kind of wanted a day off.
But let's be real about this. Like, it's probably not Katie's most confident day of work. Like, she's not one of the prized people that is going to be on display in that arena. Ariana is rocking that little tiny leotard. I don't think Katie was even offered one, so it was probably an okay day for her to duck out and, you know, not have to do anything.
But think about that also, but too, so like
Brittany on the other hand did show up.
Yeah, she seemed to kind of wrangle everybody in there, and they all took the lead. So, you know, she shows up, Jack shows up,
yeah,
and then everybody kind of follows suit, and then it's like a, it's like, no, you know, business as usual.
Yeah. So they go back to, so Katie, you know, says, okay, Lisa, like, you're okay, bye. And she, like, you know, cowards away. I found it strange though, that if you are feeling nervous, that you still were okay to go and film on the street in West Hollywood in your hooker boots and a jacket. Like, if I was feeling nervous, sad, or scared, I might have put on like a pair of jeans, a sweatshirt, and a hat and, you know, agreed to film, but like really downplayed it. I didn't find her downplayed. I just found it strange and, yeah, like you said, lazy and cold. And then so flash forward to they're at the, you know, Katie and Tom's super trendy apartment loft, and Stassi comes over, and Tom Schwartz comes over. I mean,
Tom Sandoval.
God damn it. I hate their names.
They're both the idiot Toms.
Yeah. And
Tom and Schwartz is like, you know, this is another example of the season and Katie's dominance over. I feel bad for this guy, man, because
I know,
you know, like he just seems to want to, you know, just live his life and have friends and be at peace. But she's been bringing the pain, man, to this guy, you know, like all of her wedding plans and, you know, over the years, how she's, you know, they talk about Tequila Katie and how she goes nuts and basically like turns into a different person.
And then after her bad behavior, she always turns to him and she's like, why didn't you stand up for me? You never do anything for me. And he's
so
annoying. And he like tries to answer her in like a way that's not going to make it worse, but nothing he says can calm her down because it's the most irrational sentence and she just keeps recycling it. It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is what she's doing also. It's her own like unhappiness. Something's wrong. Something's definitely wrong. Katie's really got some bigger issues, but she's taking it out on Tom. And he seems to want to go. He wants to go to the restaurant and see everybody. You know, he doesn't even really work there, but he just wants to show his support. And she bullies him down, you know, bullies him into not going. But, you know, they talk about, you know, if they want to go and they're planning on making an appearance. And
Tom kind of leads the group in talking about how, you know, the horrible things that were happening, like, you know, people looking for their friends and family, you know, amongst this debris, and people's phones were ringing, but they couldn't find the person. And he cries and does this speech that, you know, it brought Stassi to tears. It caused everyone in that apartment to rub their eyes and be so emotional that, I mean, it was, he really had a moment there. If he had had some crying lessons or some, he was practicing some sort of method there, not saying that he wasn't emotional about this, but dude, this was intense.
Yeah. Tom can nail it when it comes to the emotional scenes.
The dramatic.
Yes, he's definitely dramatic. But the guy has got like the ugliest crying face, man. It looks like he's taking a dump. His face gets all red. And but yeah, he's got those emotional scenes down. We've seen it before. With Kristen and the breakup, and yeah, Tom can really turn.
Sometimes
on.
It's over the top and annoying. Like it's like, okay, dude. Like a lot of the times, it's too much. But this was too much. But the reaction from the other cast members was so not enough that he had to do that to carry them once again.
Yeah, they actually almost looked like they were gonna burst out laughing at what he was doing.
They
yeah.
were faking it.
He can turn on those waterworks for sure. But
And then let's not forget, I don't know why they didn't air this, but I don't know if you probably don't follow them as closely as I do on social media, but right after this, I don't know if Stassi and maybe Katie and Kristen, the people who didn't go to the event, if maybe they got some backlash for that or they felt really guilty. Maybe they'll show this in the next episode, but they did a little campaign where they're like, hey, everyone, like, let's make this about love. You know, like, let's, like, just, it's just about love. Orlando, love. And they kissed each other. And they were raising money. You could donate money to, you know, this fund. And so that's what they did on social media. They made out with each other.
During the whole Pride parade or
after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like a way to kind of make up for what they were. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I would probably feel pretty dumb.
So yes, going. Yeah. So Tom leaves and he's like, you guys, he's like, Ariana's getting ready. You guys really aren't going to go down there. I heard that Lisa got on the bus and they're like, no, we just don't feel safe. And
ooh, can you imagine?
And they're like, we're just sad.
Can you imagine the type of shit Lisa would give you if you didn't show up? Like, I know she was cool with it and I think she was trying to like test everybody in a way. Like, you don't have to show up, but like, you better show up. You know, it's still the biggest day and, you know, people, that place was still packed. So, you know, for those who didn't show up, I think she gave them hell, you know.
Do you, knowing my personality and how I am with when I'm invited to something, do you think I would show up?
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be a situation where I would probably...
you would tell me not to go.
Yeah. Like, please exercise caution, and you wouldn't listen. So
because I would totally get that message that she was sending where she's like, you know, if you feel like you want to stand up for, you know, what we are here at Pump, come in. But if you, I understand if you're a scared little baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, she was testing
them. Yeah. So Lala failed the test. She said that for $10 an hour, she's not risking walking people to their tables and pasties and a clown hat. And then it shows her in her apartment and like a helicopter goes over and she like stops filming for a second because she's like looking over her shoulder and getting nervous. Again, for people who don't live in Los Angeles, that scene was total bull because there are helicopters flying over LA every minute because there is always something going on, whether it's a high speed chase, whether there's always something going on and there's always helicopters. So that was nothing that it was like, something's happening. Yeah, so that was stupid.
For sure. And like, you know, where they live is far away from I don't know what was going on in Hollywood at the time, but that gunman was caught in Santa Monica. That's a little ways off. So you wouldn't be able to hear a helicopter in Santa Monica in Hollywood. But maybe they were patrolling the area. Who knows? I don't know.
I definitely think it was a scary day, but I never thought that at the end of the episode, I my comments that I wrote down was, I cannot believe that Tom and Ariana stole this episode. Like, they 100% had the best scene, the grumpy cat comment, the fight. It was awesome. It was raw. And then, you know, his crying was amazing. And then the fact that they showed up at this pride event, really, I mean, it captured Lisa's heart. It captured the spirit of West Hollywood. And I mean, it made me proud to be watching them there. And the fact that it was kind of the outsiders that were winning, definitely. There's been a lot of talk of like the divided cast, and I was always constantly saying, who on earth would choose Tom, Ariana, Jax, and Brittany? Not that I don't like that side, but they're very uninteresting. Like, there's no drama, there's nothing fun about them. Why would anyone choose them over the other cast members? Now it's kind of starting to reveal itself because A, Lisa likes them. B, they came out as kind of the gold medal winners of this episode, and the other ones are kind of like, they kind of went into the shadow a little bit.
Yeah, they were like the heart of the episode for sure, and
the heart of West Hollywood. They really understand the kind of the roots of their fans, and
I think because they're older too, and yes, they've been through a lot. They yes, showed a little bit more maturity, I would say, it was, along with Lisa. Like, Lisa really kind of
yes,
led that charge, and they backed her up. You know, I guess the younger crowd.
And it was kind of the first time, like, we've heard Lisa do this speech, you know, since the show's beginning. She does a speech every, you know, Pride Parade. But this is the first time that I felt like it went full circle to where she says that she's the voice for them. She's their mayor. She's this, she's that. And I feel like it really showed that she truly is down there with them. You know, like, she is right there. And same with Jax and Tom and all them. Like, I was really shocked.
Do you think she's a big part of that community? Like, you know,
100%.
Do you think she's into community politics as well?
Yes.
Huh. That's interesting. I'd like to find out more about that, because I know she's got a big role on Beverly Hills Housewives, and you know,
I forget where we were. We were in Beverly Hills and we were talking to someone about the mover and shakers in Beverly Hills, and her name was brought up as like it is not just for
the show
or just on Beverly Hills Housewives. Like, she literally, like, you can see her name on many committees. She attends the meetings, like, and you know, from attending her restaurants, we would see her walk into every single one, just like she does on the show. And I know it's annoying on the Housewives when she like says to the other lady, she's like, I'm busy at my restaurants, I don't have time to deal with your BS. But it really is true. She does drive and check each one. And I mean, that's exhausting. It's in for your shift, and then it's going to voicemail on every single one. And then he'd take like another drink, and then he'd call the next person. And then finally Jax and Brittany walk in, and then Tom and Ariana, and then
Peter.
Tom shows up at the end, which that was cute. That was really heartwarming that he showed up too. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, Peter is, I didn't recognize him at first at the beginning of the season because he cut his hair. Like, he went from creepy stalker dude to, it looks like he did something, like he committed some sort of creepy stalkerish voyeur crime. Maybe he was like peeping on women or something. Uh-huh. You know, it was like breaking into women's restrooms, so he went ahead and shaved his goatee and hair and cut his hair off to change his appearance.
And then I feel like he looked like kind of chubby.
Yeah, like he's packed on the pounds. He's definitely been like,
but then
looks like he's been lifting.
But then in the last episode, he took his shirt off and Lisa was like, have you been working out? And suddenly he had this buff, bare-haired body. It was really weird looking.
That's strange. Something's going on with that guy. Like, me, he's gone through like this transformation, but it's something they didn't show. He's still not really a big part of that show. I don't get it. Is he part of the management? So he can't really get into it, just like all the other managers. You know how you see like Lisa's partner, that other lady?
Yeah.
I don't know her name. Every once in a while. Mm-hmm. She was at the whole Pride parade thing. You see her once in a while. She'll do her little song and dance. But
she like tattles on them when they're bad. Yeah.
Yeah. But then she disappears. They're kind of like non-factors. And Peter's sort of the same way, you know, even though he's kind of like everybody else's age. But
I don't know. I have to say, every time that we have seen the cast anywhere or anything like that, he has always been there. Whether we've seen them out recreationally just hanging out with each other or filming, he's always there. So he is not a main cast member, but
maybe
he's
more of like their wrangler. Like, he brings them in,
that's
them
weird
to the fence.
It's really weird. I don't know why they keep him on. And they try, I think they tried a couple storylines with him, and like they tried to give him like a girlfriend and a kid and and like a little bit of a, like, Jax needed some help with some storylines, and it didn't work.
Yeah, he's more like supporting cast, but you know, there
I
you
remember
go.
I was just horrified by his apartment. So so that's it for that episode. So it ended on just like, you know, a real feel good you know, end, that the West Hollywood community just really came together and, you know, didn't let what happened in Orlando define them. It was really good. So that's it for that episode. So make sure you tune in to hear about the next episode, and we will be back next week with a new one. Thank you so much for listening, guys.
Take care.
Bye.